Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it, just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Mess with MS. My name is Lisa Dreyer, and I am the Mess with MS. And my guest tonight is Tiffany Jade Hightower. Hi, Tiffany.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
I am doing well. I said hi to her while the music was playing, if anyone could hear that. And
oh, really? Okay.
I did. And that is because we weren't able to talk before the show started.
Right.
So, and usually that actually happens. But this is going to be a special show.
All right. Sounds good.
It's going to be special, and it's going to be just a little bit messy, just like I like it. But I'm very pleased that you could be here with me tonight, Tiffany. Thank you so much.
Of course.
I
made a promise. I keep them.
I'm very happy that you're here, and I'm excited to hear everything that you've been up to, I know you've been here before, but I'd like to reintroduce you and your story to everyone listening out there. So tell us about yourself, Tiffany. You're an actress.
Okay. I am. It's so funny. It's so funny that at this point in my life, I am an actress. I've been doing that for over 20 years, but that's really not just my primary focus.
How you define
focus,
yourself?
You know, because I am an actor, but I'm a writer, director, producer, and most importantly, a humanitarian and a visionary. And that's what's important, especially at this point in my life. You know what I mean? I can't just go through life and say, okay, you know, I do this. I'm an actor. I do some TV shows here and there. I do films here and there. But it's more so what you do to contribute to your community and to the world as a whole. And I think that that's very important. I also coach acting privately and do seminars and train young actors and even older actors and performers to be able to be as successful as they can be. And that's pretty much me in a nutshell. And I enjoy what I do, but I enjoy the most when I can actually help others and not just focus on myself. That's just not who I am, you know. It's more so what I can do to inspire others, hopefully, and also inform them about even the multiple sclerosis that I deal with daily and how I still function and how I still work and how I still am able to do the things that I do. And that has a lot to do with faith. And that's a big part of my life as well. So, yeah, that's me.
I think that's wonderful. I built my life pretty much around performing, And I've taken a break from performing. I know that we've talked about this, but I'm just going to talk about this on air for a second. I've built my life around performing. I've taken a break from it, but, you know, and, like, I don't define myself by the fact that I was an actor, basically, but I know that I can do many things, too, and I think that's important to, you know, who you are as a person, to be like, well, I can do this, I can do that, I can do so many things. And, you know, everyone should be like that, because especially if in your life at some point in time you can be hit with something like multiple sclerosis, you have to be able to be flexible. It's so important.
If you let an illness of any kind define who you are, you're doing yourself a disservice. You know, you really, really are. Because that does not define you. That might be a part of you now. That might be a part of what you struggle with or what you deal with, but that is not all of what encompasses you. And I think that a lot of people who are struggling with anything, any ailment, anything that's going on that is difficult in their life, if they use that to define what they are and what they can do, then you're not going to be up to your full potential. That's just what I believe. So, I think I agree with what you said. And we all in life have to struggle and push past whatever the hardship is to really show what we can do despite what's going on. You know, because it's not what you're going through. It's how you come through whatever that situation is. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely. And I also know that you have to continue to reevaluate your life. You know, it's almost like, it seems like it's on a weekly basis sometimes. You have to keep saying to yourself, no, I can do this. Wait. It doesn't matter whatever happens. I mean, like, I know personally, I just found out that I have 3 new lesions, and they're not active, but still, you know, like, it kind of breaks you down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and like, I know, because I'm trying out a new drug, and, like, it hit me at first, and I was like, well, like, isn't this drug supposed to take care of all that? Like, I didn't have those lesions when I started the drug, you know, why are they there? So, you know, it seems like it shouldn't have happened. But, you know, it's just you have to believe that everything is going to be okay. And then that's when, you know, what you said about faith, that is when it becomes really an important part of the equation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just feel that it's a really potent thing to talk about is, you know, like in your personal journey that you have come to that, to have such a strong belief in your higher power. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to take a moment to give a shout out to say, because I'm not, you know, I would love to say that I do everything on my own, and I do a lot on my own. I gotta admit that. But I do now, as of late, I have two fantastic, so when there's moments that I feel like, you know, I don't know which way to go, I do have others that I can talk to make sure that I still am on the right path and I still, and my faith is still as strong as it has been, and that has not been damaged at all. So I do, you know, I think that that's something that anybody, number one, I don't care if you have illness or if you don't or if you're struggling with something in your life or whatever you're going through, it is good to have people around that you can trust, that you know are looking out for your benefit, whether that be on a physical level, an emotional level, or a spiritual level. And, you know, and the best thing is if you can have a little bit of all of that. And I know that that's been something that I've decided to really bring into my life. So, yeah, I think it's definitely, if you don't have faith, then, I mean, if you don't believe in, you know, anything, then you fall for everything. So if you don't have, your faith is not strong, then that's when there's a danger, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's kind of like, I've been to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, and I'm not an alcoholic, but I think it's interesting how they say, you know, you need to pick something to believe in.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter if in the beginning it's a tree stump, but you need to pick something and like to put your faith in and to give it up to that as your higher power. And I think that's so interesting, like and then eventually you'll shift it and you'll start believing in God. And I mean, I think that's kind of a beautiful thing. I mean, and I know they talk about, you know, they have a group for agnostics and everything as well. But I mean, I think that's kind of really a powerful spiritual thing. And I mean, I don't know if I have it right or not, but even if I don't, if I don't understand it properly, then what I think I understood is, you know, if you concentrate on something and then you finally understand it as God, then that, I think that's a wonderful concept. But
I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, I think that a lot of people struggle with what to believe in or what not to believe in. Now, I do have my own very strong beliefs. I am definitely a God-fearing person, and that's because of, I can go through a whole list of how I shouldn't be here and wouldn't be here if God didn't look out, you know, for me, and if I didn't have the faith that I have. But the thing about it is that it's not to be judgmental on how other people, where they get what their safety net is. As long as it's something that's productive and something that's helpful to their life, you know, of course, I have my belief, but I'm not at this point, you know, especially on, you know, the national radio, I'm not going to downplay anybody else's belief or what they consider their higher power. But I know it is important, and I know it is important to me because I've seen the difference. Even with the MS, I was told that, if I got one more lesion, I wouldn't be able to walk, you know. And to still be able to work as much as I do, doing as much, that's nothing but God, you know. And so I don't want to go down that road. You know, I'm not trying to preach to anybody tonight, you know. But it's just one of those things that you have got to have, you know, the faith has to be strong, especially if you're dealing with something that is already damaging to your life and your health and, you know, and your ability. For me, I don't even, my thing is that I don't even really, to be honest with you, I try not to even think about the MS. Because when I think about the MS, then I give it power. You see what I'm saying? If I think about the MS and then I know that I have to work, you know, a 10, 12, 14, 16 hour day, I'm not going to be successful if I let the thought of MS and the pain or the symptoms and all, if I think about all that, then that's what's going to take precedence, and I won't be able to do the job that I had signed up to do. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things that I think that it's also a lot about where you focus your energy. You know, if you focus your energy on what's ailing you or what's wrong, then that's where your energy is going to stay. You know, so again, you're doing yourself a disservice by doing that instead of giving your energy to what you want to accomplish. That's my personal
opinion. I think I spent a lot of time focusing on my energy on learning about it and, like, dealing with group stuff and all of that earlier on in my diagnosis. And then, like, now I'll deal with having a show. But other than that, I mean, I don't really spend all of my time or much of my time dealing with any MS stuff. I mean, other than, like, being an activist with, like, my MS Beautiful things. But, I mean, like, I don't sit and stew in it. You know what I mean? Because I think that's really unhealthy. And but I mean, like, I just think what you do is absolutely amazing. I mean, if you're saying that you could not get if you had another legion, you wouldn't walk anymore. I think that is a ridiculous kind of diagnosis because.
At that time, it was true. See, I got diagnosed 13 years or more after I already knew that I had MS. And I had told doctors that I thought I had MS. And, you know, everybody, I was diagnosed with vertigo. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. I was diagnosed with a gazillion different things. But, see, I still knew that that's what I had. And it wasn't until I found a nice young doctor who I went in one day, and at that time I, you know, was dizzy. I couldn't really, you know, walk. Everything was just, you know, I walked in and I said, you know, and I talked to her on a first name basis. I know that's not common, but she's not just my doctor. She's a very, by now she's a great friend of mine. I was her first patient ever. I met her when she was in her residency. And I told her, and I said, you know, I said, Dr. blah, 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 I won't give her name, but blah, 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 I think I have MS. And at that time, she touched my leg, and then she let go, and she said, did you feel that? I said, well, aren't you still touching me? And she said, you know, you're going to get an MRI of your brain. And I said, all right, yeah, cool. And she said, no, not, Tiff, not when you want to. I'm sending a shuttle right now. You're going straight to ER. And that was the first time after so long that somebody listened to what I said. And at that time I was living, also half the time I was living in Germany. And so, well, here's the deal. You know, I've been saying that I have MS. So, you know, I got a plane ticket to go back to Germany in 5 days. So I need all these tests run in like ASAP. And she had all my tests running, including the spinal tap, the ECG, the MRIs, the everything run in 5 days. And so then afterwards, then I said, all right, so you got all the tests. So like I said, I'm going, you know, I have a plane out of here. I'm going to Germany. You know, at this point, you just call me with my diagnosis. So they called me in Germany, and I got my diagnosis over the phone in Germany. But since I already knew I had it, when they called me with that information, I wasn't shocked. You know, I had already started preparing my life to know that I was going to live with this illness. You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, I guess that's why even now, that's why I can still do everything that I'm doing, is because years before, you know, over 16, 17 years ago, I had already known that I had it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it hasn't really been able to, there's some times where, you know, little, you know, MS will just have a bad day and say, you know, I don't want to play today. but other than that, it's just, you know, I've already accepted it. I've been living with it before doctors even believed that I had what I had. So I think that's another thing that gives me the strength to continue doing what I'm doing. And, you know, and you learn along the way. You learn along the way what MS does not want to do. You know, it's like when people ask me, hey, Tiff, do you want to do this? Yeah. People ask me nowadays, and they're like, Tiff, do you want to do this, or do you want to go here, or do you want to? And honestly, I just think to myself, you know what? I got to talk to MS. I got to talk to MS and see if MS wants to do that today. And if not, then the answer is no. You know, and I think that's something that we have to, any of us that deal with MS or lupus or ALS or anything, we have to stop feeling. We have to stop feeling bad for the times that we can't do whatever people want us to do. You know what I mean? We can't give, we can't blame ourselves for not feeling up to doing something at a certain time if we're not physically up to doing it. You know?
Yeah, it's like you can't schedule something for that day. You have to kind of ask that day, am I okay today? Well, you know, maybe I need to tell this day, you know, and all of my friends in that day that I'm not doing so hot. So mm-hmm. I need to lie down on the couch instead of going out, you know, like I said I was mm-hmm. going to. Okay. You know.
Yeah. And that's because that's true.
You can't pre-schedule.
Well, but my thing about it is that, but see, I can't do last minute. Like, you can't, see, this is what happened a lot, and I feel bad because I know some of my friends are kind of like that, you know, they're just like kind of up, like, let me jump up and be spontaneous. Well, see, I can't mm-hmm. do that because my MS, because everybody who has MS or lupus or anything like that, it's different for every single person who suffers from any of these diseases. And so you can't just hop up and be like, yo, Tiff, hey, let's just go, you know, let's go to an amusement park, like right now. Well, See, MS has not been consulted.
What is the temperature?
And I haven't been able to schedule it. Exactly.
What do I need to
wear? Right. I don't, and the thing about it is I used to feel bad for it. And I used to push myself. And then I'd end up sick. You know, so now it's just, I don't even, if I know that, like, say, for instance, if I know that I'm not feeling the best, and even if I'm, you know, if there's an opportunity for me to go to set or whatever, and I intentionally, because I don't ever cancel. So what I do is that if I already know I'm not feeling well, then I won't even say that I'm available. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to cancel. So therefore, I just, you know, I just lay low until my body says, okay, it's time, you know, you feel better. And then that's it. But we as people, and people in general, you can't feel guilty for not feeling up to doing something. You see what I'm saying? That's not
good. Yeah, no, you know, cannot. It's not good for your body. It's not good for your brain. It's not good for your heart.
Right.
It's not good for you.
Right.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so many people do that. And then they feel resentment the other
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's not good mm-hmm. at all. It's a big circle of bad.
Yeah. I think that's my biggest no-no now is that it's just, you know, I can't, man, I used to live with that, like the guilt of having to say no. I used to live with that all the time, you know, and it's just like I would try and do everything. I would go above and beyond. You know, I deal with, you know, I was always, the ear for everybody because I, you know, I do enjoy listening and I am a good listener. But then I got to a point where I had to realize that there's certain times that, you know, once the stress gets too high, then it would start to affect the MS as well. So it's, I can listen to you, and if I can help, then I will. But if I can't, you know, I can't beat a dead horse, you know, and if it gets too stressful for me, then what's happening is that the MS starts to react. You know, so I can't be good for anybody if I'm not healthy for myself. Does that make sense? I don't think anybody
can. It totally makes sense. Yeah. Totally makes sense. So how do you deal with getting up super early in the morning, going
yeah, like
to
3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Going to a set where everyone is stressed out and, you know,
mm-hmm.
things aren't working properly
mm-hmm.
and you have to get into mm-hmm. costume and do your makeup and then sit there
mm-hmm.
for hours
mm-hmm.
and hours and hours and wait
mm-hmm.
for them to fix the lighting
mm-hmm.
and the sound
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
get everyone in. I mean, I know how it works.
Yeah.
How do you
so
do
how,
that?
So how do, okay, let me tell you, like, say, for instance, if you, and it's not necessarily a healthiest thing, but what happens is, first of all, if I don't, I'm at the place in my life that if I don't have to be on set. If I'm not working, you know what? If I'm not working, then I prefer to get as much rest as possible. Even if I'm not, you know, sleeping, just to get as much rest as possible. Because on those days, this is about how it goes the day before. The day before, what happens is, say, for instance, I get, I wait, and say if I get a call time, so I wait for my call time to, like, say, 9 o'clock p.m., all right? So that means that I'm, you know, I'm not really able to function until I have a call time because I'm, you know, I'm so, you're like, you know, a little bit just on edge, just waiting to get that time for the next morning. Once I get that call time, say if my call time is 10 in the morning, what that means is that say if I go to sleep, once I get the call time, if I go to sleep, I will wake up no later than 2 o'clock in the morning. I will give my body at least an hour to do nothing but meditate and pray.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then what I do is then I slowly get ready. I do not rush, you know, so I'm always early to set. I'm always, like, close to an hour early because I have to make sure that my mind and body are prepped to go through whatever I might have to deal with that day. So it's not, so say, for instance, if I shoot, if there's a shoot and it's, which is pretty, you know, reasonable, but say it's still long, but say if I shoot for 12 hours, what I've been doing, I've been up for at least 17 hours of that day because I take so much time just to meditate and just to take time to do nothing but breathe. Do you understand what I mean? Just breathe
totally.
and let my whole body relax. And then I, a lot of times before, I'll get up and then I'll lift weights. I will lift weights every day. So I'll lift weights and then, you know, meditate and just breathe. I pray a lot, you know, a few times. And the earlier the call time, the more I pray. You know, so that I can make it through the day. So, but other than that, that's just having faith and, you know, and making sure that I don't, on days where I'm not on set, that I don't overexert myself doing unnecessary stuff. You know, I was walking in the apartment building the other day, and I ran into this older woman. And it was kind of like rainy and snowy, you know, and I let her in the door, and I was like, oh, how, you know, I said, you know, how are you? And she was like, girl, let me tell you one thing. If it ain't about money, I'm going outside. And that's kind of how I feel at this point. Because it's, you know, it's so true where it's just like, you know, you get to that point where, you know, I'm not 20 anymore, which just like, let me go out just to have fun. And, you know, I just can't do that. You know, it's about,
yeah,
it's really about business. Yeah. It's like, you know, I'd rather just stay at home and, like, you know, watch a movie on my phone on Netflix and just, you know, relax, or, you know, or play some game on my phone, or read, cause I read a lot, or, you know, read the Bible, whatever I'm doing. And, but, you know, as far as running up and down the road, you know, those days are over. Over.
But you were taking more active roles for a little while, weren't you? Where you were doing some things on set that
stuff.
You...
I would love to get into detail, but because of non-disclosure agreements, I can't. But the thing about
That's
it
fine.
Is, I do a lot of stuff that honestly would be difficult for the average person. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, you can imagine that with, unless it's not easy, but what happens is that when I used to, I was trained in stage combat, and I was trained to choreograph stage combat, you know, and so it's like, that doesn't mean that the MS still is not around, you know, it's just that I have to be very, very aware of the type of situations I put myself in. But at the same time, it takes, you know, if I know I'm going to have to do a lot of physical activity, then that's another thing that I have to prepare for the day before. Again, you know, by working out, by meditating, by trying to eat better than I used to, you know, trying to eat healthy stuff, not just pizza, which is my favorite food in the world, you know. So it's just like you make those adjustments. You make those adjustments so you can still do those things that you used to do. And that was all the way up until till last week. And last week was when was the last shoot that I did, because I'm taking myself on a little mini vacation. So, you know, you know, just to give my body some time to rest. And since a lot of the shows that I do are going on hiatus, because we wrapped shooting, time to just get away and just enjoy, you know, enjoy family and friends. And then and then I'll probably shoot down to New Orleans and do some workshops with some youth down there. So
awesome.
Because I'll still, when I'm not on set just acting myself, I still teach acting and I still coach acting. So that's still a part of my life that I love, because, you know, if I can help the youth of today, or I can help anybody who wants to be an artist, then I really enjoy doing that. So,
and it's nice that you get to travel and do that. Now, I have a question for you. Have you ever heard of any other actors in the field who have MS? I mean, like, have you ever talked to any other actors? I know that they do exist. But have you ever talked to anybody?
Well, I haven't ever spoken with another actor that has specifically MS. Spoken to other actors that have lupus and other autoimmune diseases, but as far as MS, no. But there's meaning that not necessarily even just of this kind, but, you know, comedians people that honestly you would never expect to have it, that have dealt with the disease. And I think that it's just I think for a long time people were so shy to talk about it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if you're in the industry, you don't necessarily want to talk about it because you're concerned about whether casting's going to no longer call you because of that disease or that illness or whatever. Now, is it something that I broadcast? No. But is it something that I'm open enough about to have a whole series on it, so if anybody just takes the time to just Google me, then they'll see it. So I'm not hiding. It's just, you know, but do I go into, you know, would I go into, you know, an audition and that be the first thing that I say? No, probably not. You know, because there's still a stigma with any type of illness, I think, that people have, where they're just like, okay, you know, is this person still going to be able to do what's needed for the role or for the job forward? I don't think it's just in the entertainment industry. I think that's in any type of industry.
For sure.
Is that, you know, it causes people to think twice. And I don't care if it's, you know, MS or lupus or, you know, ALS or rheumatoid arthritis or, it's like any reason.
Illness. Do you think that there's any exception to that rule? Do you think there's any reason why someone would give you a part because you had MS? Do you think there would be anything where, like, someone would have written it into a script or, like, who knows? I mean,
I'm sure that's, to be honest with you, I'm sure that's possible, especially, I think it's more likely now than it was in the past. You know what I mean? Because now people are so, you know, getting to know more about, slowly but surely, the disease and the plethora of diseases out there that still have no cure. So I think that will happen. It will start to happen more. So I don't to happen more frequently than before. It just takes some time. People opening their eyes and saying, you know, this is something that not only do we want to know more about, but we want to give and support people who are dealing with it and dealing with it successfully and are still able to be productive parts of
definitely
of society.
Definitely.
You know?
And I think that it's really important that you're going out there and working with the youth. And I think that really young people right now, there's such promise in young people that I've seen.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I've talked with and on some levels I've worked with some young people and recently, and they are pretty amazing. Their levels of empathy and intelligence. And, you know, I think that if they had more knowledge about multiple sclerosis, that would be such a gift to us because they would be great advocates for, to help people with multiple sclerosis.
I mean, at the end of the day, you can't ever forget that that's the future, you know? The youth is the future. So if we don't, you know, get them and make sure to support them so they can stay on the right track, then we're doing, again, we're doing a disservice to the whole world, the whole nation, and, you know, the whole society, humanity. Is, you know, it's just right now, especially right now is the time to give, you know, if you, to be honest, like, kids are like sponges. Youth are like sponges. They really do. Like, you can't overlook or doubt how much they want to be involved, and they just want to know something, and they want to be able to feel like they are a part of today's society instead of being shunned to the side as though they don't matter. That's when you have issues, is when you treat them like they don't matter, you know, or you ignore them, that's when they start acting out. But you give them just like a reason and a purpose, then that's when you really start to see them flourish.
Mm-hmm. Kids, yeah, exactly. Kids need to be shown not just love, but they need to be given, you know, tools, and they need. They need
directed.
To be, yeah, directed, exactly. And I think that's one of the reasons why theater is so important for children, because it gives them, you know, guidance in life, I think.
And a way important. And a way to express themselves, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
I think the arts are so important for that reason, too. Now, I have another question for you about, now, I don't know if I can say this right, but syncope, yes. Okay, I am saying it right. I've done some research on it, but I want to ask you about your experiences with it.
Okay. Well, the reason why I put that part in the docuseries is because when I first experienced syncope, I didn't really know what was going on. You know, what happened is that the first time, one day I woke up and I just noticed that I continued to lose consciousness. I continue to pass out repeatedly. That's what syncope does, is when you're passing out repeatedly and you don't know what. All right, so at first I didn't know what it was. So anyway, the ambulance had to come, and they had to, take me to the hospital. I was in the ambulance, and the woman was talking to me. She didn't quite know, at that time what the cause of it was. But when I got to ER, and they went through and they diagnosed it, and it was stress induced, and I ended up putting that in the docuseries because it was something that a lot of people don't talk about, you know, because I think a lot of people still don't know what it is. Scary. It really is a scary moment where you just, you're consistently losing consciousness and you have no idea why. And it was later on that I realized, because when it happened the second time, and it wasn't as severe, but when it happened the second time, and I had to put two and two together and realize that it was pretty much 100% stress induced. And I wasn't getting enough sleep, and I, you know, and so pretty much my body was just essentially just trying to shut down and pretty much just saying, you know what, you're not letting me get any rest, so I'm just going to take it. So it's like, you know, and that's probably, I will say, out of all the symptoms of MS, I'd say that was the scariest one. And I say still to this day, it's still one of the scariest ones that, ever since, still try and anytime I realize that I've overworked myself or there's too much stress, I just try and, you know, just meditate and breathe and get my rest and relaxation in, because I know how, because not everybody with MS deals with syncope. That's definitely a scary thing to go through, and it sucks that it's something that I do go through, but it's like, you know, I've been able to manage it because of the fact that, you know, I don't wear myself out like that anymore, you know? So, but yes, it's not a funny thing, because when you're out, you're just out, you know, and you don't even realize the time that's passed, you know, it's just like you're in and out of consciousness, and that's just, it's not a fun thing to go through. And like I said, it's a scary thing.
No, I completely understand, because I'm not a fan of losing consciousness. I mean,
right, well,
I've had vascular vagal faints, and I have epilepsy, so I understand losing consciousness completely, and it's not fun. It is not fun at all, and I don't know if that in itself has ever happened to me, the syncope, but I mean, I wouldn't know the difference between one or the other. But do you know what? From what I looked up and read about it, it said that it was related to blood pressure too.
Absolutely.
Do you know? When you were actually, like, did you ever become hospitalized because of it or anything?
Well, yeah, I was taken by the ambulance.
Yeah. So what did they do for your blood pressure?
Well, because essentially what you're doing is that you're, when you get to a point where your body is so tense, you know, and you're not getting the rest that you need, what's happening is that you're, in a sense, holding your breath without knowing it. You see what I'm saying? You're not breathing like you normally would do. Instead, you're not letting the body function as normal. Instead, you're constricting your breath, and therefore, when you're holding your, I mean, imagine if you're holding your breath, then of course, you know, then when you stand up, what's going to happen? You hold your breath, then you stand up, you get lightheaded. You know, if you continue to do that, then that's what happens, is that you're not able to, your breath and your circulation and your blood pressure, none of that's able to regulate when you're constricting it. And that's what was happening, but I didn't realize, but it was something where, you know, it got to that point where I was so exhausted that I was pretty much, my body was going on autopilot. So I was trying to force it to work instead of just giving it the sleep and the rest that it needed. So, again, it's like, you know, with my version of MS is either, you know, either you lay down or I'm going to lay you down without your permission. You know, and that's one of those things where, you know, you have to, you know, I encourage everybody, I don't care if you have MS or if you don't take time for yourself to just slow down and take, you know, take that moment to get the rest and to get the relaxation that you need, then your body's going to fight back. And when it fights back, it's not going to be a good thing at all. So, but I'd say that, honestly, I would say that if, number one, I would tell anybody with MS, lupus, ALS, the C word, anybody who's dealing with anything serious like this, the most important thing is getting adequate amount of sleep and relaxation. If you don't do that, then you're setting your body up for failure unintentionally. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So. Yeah, I completely believe that. I think that, I meditate every day. I try to get over 12 hours of sleep because I get the 12 hours and then I sleep during the day too. And I try to, be as relaxed and as connected to everything. But I mean, you have to stay calm and connected and relaxed, and it's so hard. I mean, I have blood pressure problems too. Mm-hmm. That's why I was saying I don't know if I've ever had anything like that happen to me, because I've fainted from my blood pressure problems. But and that's pretty scary. So, I don't know if it's the same.
Yeah, I think that honestly it's, for me now, it's, I'm lucky if I get, I don't know the last time that I've gotten even 6 hours of sleep. I don't recall that ever, like it was in the last year or two, unless it's just been because I already don't sleep well, because I'm always on edge, I'm always ready to get here, get there quickly.
Ready to go.
Right. So that in my body, it's like even when I don't have to be on set, it's like now, my body already wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning expecting me to have
Your
to go somewhere.
Your body's ready. Yeah.
It's been adjusted to that. So,
but I know so many MSers who would be like, you're lucky. You're so lucky to still have the ability to do that. It's a toss up, I'd be like, I think you're very lucky that you're still an active person out in the world. I mean, like,
I gotta be honest with you, Lisa, I don't think it's luck. I think I think I'm just extremely blessed. I can't.
Yeah, I do too.
Because listen, luck can only go so far. Definitely a blessing.
I work
a heck of a lot.
And you pray very hard too.
Oh yeah. I mean, every day, I don't know, like, and a lot of times when I pray, to be honest with you, a lot of times when I'm praying, and this is, what's most important for me is just to say thank you. I say thank you a lot. I say thank you, God, for all the blessings that you're bestowing on me that I don't even know about. I don't think for something. Instead, I thank you, I thank God for, what the blessings I don't even know about. And the ability to do what I've been doing and to be pretty successful doing what I do. But it's anywhere. I don't even think luck's in the cards at this point,
No, I don't either. I'm just saying that I think that some people would think,
Of course.
What I personally think is that you are a woman with a ton of passion, and that you get to live out your dreams, and that's pretty amazing. I mean, when I see pictures of you, doing your work and everything on your Facebook page. Yeah. It makes me happy. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
You know, like, that means a lot to me. Yeah. Yeah, it just makes me happy, and it's like a shared dream. I don't even know what to say.
And you know, I firmly believe that you can't stop, and you know, you can't give up on your dreams. And I promised myself a long time ago, like when they finally did diagnose me with what I knew I already had, when they finally did, I made a promise to myself, and I said that, number one, I wasn't going to let the disease define me. I wasn't going to let the disease stop what I was doing, and that I was going to be an advocate, awareness of sclerosis and autoimmune diseases. That's a promise that I made, and that's a promise that I will continue to keep as long as I possibly can. And, you know, when I didn't do the docuseries for me. I didn't do it so that I would make a lot of money off of that. If you look on there now, you know, it's $1 to watch the whole
thing.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you about this right now. Let's go over that. Let's go over that. So the status on the uncomplacent has changed. So right now,
what?
You can get complacent. You can rent Tiffany's whole series, Complacent, which is wonderful. Okay, you can go to where can we go to rent it?
Okay, you can go to the link is www.vimeo.com/on-demand/complacent. Complacent, the docuseries. And this link, Lisa, can you put that up on the website when, you know, after we're done, so that people can just go ahead and just click that link and it'll take them straight to, right to the series.
Let me write it down. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure, what is it again?
Okay.
Sorry.
It's www.vimeo, that's spelled V-I-M-E-O, .com/on-demand/complacent, the docuseries. Complacent is spelled C-O-M-P-L-A-I-S-A-N-T, the T-H-E, docuseries, D-O-C-U. S-E-R-I-E-S. And again, I will, I think you have that link, but if not, after we get off, then I'll send that to you. So then afterwards, you can put it on your website. And
okay, yeah.
all the episodes are $1, and there's 15 episodes to rent. It's $1. It's a little bit more expensive to if you choose to buy the series. But as far as renting, it's $1, you know. And the reason why I did that is because my goal in creating the series was to get the awareness out, get the knowledge out, and be able to see these beautiful people going through this experience of dealing with the symptoms of MS, and also so that doctors could see it as well, so that hopefully it's easier for them to diagnose, because I go through 15, they're labeled, each different one. So I just wanted to be accessible to as many people as possible, you know. And so for nowadays, you can't even buy a candy bar for $1.
Yeah.
So,
and
it's
a very good watch, guys. You should go and watch
thank
it,
you.
Everyone. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I really enjoyed it.
Well, thanks. And I was blessed. The highlight of it was when it won, you know, California Film Awards, you know, for TV and production. And that was a huge. It won gold for that.
It deserved
it. That made me so happy, because it stands for something, and it has a purpose, and it's it's really about educating people and also showing people what love and compassion can do when either you're suffering from a disease or some a loved one is suffering from a disease. It's, you know, love and support make the world a difference with anything that you're dealing with. So.
Yeah. No, I totally believe that. And you made something great, and it will be there forever. And
exactly.
That's the cool part. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's the cool part.
You're not done. You can continue making things, you know. Keep making wonderful things.
I'm trying. I'm in pre-production for a couple pieces that I'll probably start casting for in the next couple weeks while I'm on my extended vacation. And
you'll have to tell me about it.
Of course I will. Of course I will. As soon as I get everything in the works, then I'll definitely shout it out to you, and we'll have another session here, and we'll talk more about it.
Yeah. Well, it has been wonderful having you on the show today. So, can you tell me anything about any of the shows you have been on recently?
Well, I'll say, I'll keep it brief, but we are done filming. We are wrapped filming season 6 of Orange is the New Black. So that will be probably, come out this summer. So I encourage everybody to watch it, of course. It was fun doing it last season, and thank God I was picked up to do it again this season. So we just wrapped doing that. So again, like you were saying,
it's a wonderful show.
But that's when things get a little bit more physical, for me. I encourage everybody to watch that as well. I don't just do my own things, and you do other stuff. So I just say look out for that. And I'm looking out for it. I'm eager to know how it came out. You do the work, and then you always wonder, what the final product is. So we'll see. And there's a couple other ones, but that's the one that I know that the masses know about, since it's like one of the number one series on Netflix. I encourage people to check it out, of course. And that's all I can say, Lisa.
I know. Well, I knew about that one, but and seen pictures from other things, but I have no idea what they are.
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna have to be like, that's a pretty picture.
You look
nice in that.
to be honest with you, I kind of like playing the bad girl. I do. I think overall I'm such a good girl in real life that, being a bad girl at times is just, it's like my alter ego. I think it's my way of releasing all the frustrations of the world in a very positive and productive and, artistic way. So Lisa, I always keep you posted with what's going on, but I definitely will continue to do that and continue
good.
To encourage you.
I'm
to,
glad.
Of course, that's no doubt about that. And Lisa, let me ask you, let me throw it back at you, and how are you feeling these days?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good, other than the news I just had, but I mean, the fact is the lesions I have aren't active. The new drug that I started, I did have some amazing results. I lost the lymph that I had, and I had a lot of other really wonderful things happen. My speech has been better. Mm-hmm. I feel great, actually. And that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I'm just doing really well, actually. They did put me on a medication, though, recently, so because I did have those two seizures, that's making me feel a little dumb. But I should be off of it by September, so I'm looking forward to that. I am doing well. I'm missing going to church. I'm missing myself. Because my faith is really important to me as well.
Of course.
I grew up with a Jewish and Christian background. But as of recently, I had more exposure to going to church, and I miss it. Especially recently when I was diagnosed, I was living with a lady who was taking me to church all the time, and I miss going to church. I got a lot out of that, and it's something that I miss, and
I pray that you'll be able to get back into it, as soon as possible.
Once
you get, used to the new medications and everything, I hope that you'll be able to do something that it seems like meant a lot to your heart. And so definitely I'm praying that you're able to get back to that for sure.
Yeah, I need to find somewhere that I like. it's funny that I'm in Cleveland with there's like six churches on every block, so I should be able to find something.
Okay. Oh yeah. I don't think you'll have to look too far, but God, you have to fit something that sits well with your spirit and with your soul. So
yeah.
I'm praying that you find a church home, since that's what you definitely want. You're looking for, so I'm praying for that too. And what are you doing? What do you do on your spare time? Like, what do you do anything for fun?
Well, I used to act and take care of kids, and now I'm not doing that. I write and I
That's
read
good. Yeah.
and mm-hmm. I've my significant other and I, we travel all the time, which is wonderful.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
it's really great. We just got back from Florida, and now we're going to Arizona.
Okay, wow,
crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you gotta enjoy life, and that's awesome.
Yeah, and, I do my radio show, and I don't know, I do
that's
a lot.
It's amazing.
It's always hard to figure out what you do when someone asks you, and I'm like, well,
that's so funny. I find that to be the same thing as, for me, is that it's just like, people ask me, like, oh, Tiff, what do you do? I'm just like, shoot, I don't know. I do a lot of stuff.
I walk
so I just,
my dog.
Exactly. It's just,
clean my house.
I think we kind of take for granted, like, what we do accomplish in a day. I think that if we all took some time to really realize the beauty that the day holds and all the amazing things that we actually do accomplish, it would be a much nicer thing and much more appreciative. But we just don't do that. I think we all just kind of, without even knowing it, just kind of run through life instead of really, noticing those moments. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, every small thing is why you do it. You take care of the house because it's part of taking care of your relationship, and of mm-hmm. your partner and of yourself mm-hmm. too, because without doing it, you wouldn't be actually taking care of yourself. I mean, everything would fall yeah. apart. mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why you're doing everything. I mean, if you didn't clean your house, you know, it wouldn't be nice to live in.
It's, I mean, it's like, honestly, I think that if we all just took some more time to appreciate the little things in life and the little, you know, the little just moments. I mean, that's my goal. In 2018, my goal is to enjoy every single moment, you know. I mean, there's going to be some moments that are not necessarily enjoyable. But to really appreciate the moments and appreciate the beauty in life and the beauty in things, even if it is just cleaning. You know, there's something beautiful about that, too.
I try to, like, have a cup of tea, and I'll mm-hmm. sit there at the window and drink my tea and watch outside the window. And, I mean, it sounds silly, but I'll watch the squirrels in the front yard.
Oh, are you kidding me? The squirrels are my favorite. The squirrels are like my favorite animal in the world. Seriously. I think
it's amazing. I'll watch the squirrels come out and play. Mm-hmm. And then the birds will mm-hmm. come down. Because, I mean, on days when it's starting to not snow here. And then the birds come down. And then suddenly there's deer walking on our street. And, I mean, because they're getting all ready for spring. And it's just so amazing. It's like a parade coming down the street.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden. Because all the animals are so excited. And then you start feeling excited and happy, too. Because everyone's excited and happy. And, I mean, that's so wonderful. That's what life is all about, you know?
That's appreciating life, exactly. That's what we all need to do more of. And that's something that, you know, for me, I'll never forget, like, one time I sat in Central Park with a special person to me. And for 6 hours, Lisa, do you know, for 6 hours I sat on a bench with that person. And I spent the whole time, like, calling birds and squirrels, you know. And when I would call the birds, the squirrels would come. And when I would call the squirrels, the birds would come. You know, but it was still fun. Like, at least I knew somebody was listening. Like, with things like that, those are some of the most beautiful times in my life. Just enjoy what, you know, the beauty and the beautiful creatures that God has placed on this earth. And that's something that I don't want to ever miss. I don't want to miss those moments anymore. You know, that's it. And I'm going to do a lot more of it when the weather turns. I used to not be an outdoorsy person at all, but now appreciating the beauty of the world is so important to me now that it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to turn into, like, maybe I go camping. I don't know.
You should, you know, try that in Central Park. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I'll go camping in Central Park. Yeah.
I'm so kidding.
People look at me like
I'm so sad they closed Tavern on the Green. Why did they do that? That is just so upsetting.
That's
okay, well,
one.
I'm done with that rant. But, like, okay fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm
but
gonna
the rest
get to New York, and they're
going to
have closed all my favorite places.
Well, you need to come soon, so then I can get a chance to actually meet you in person instead of just on the radio.
It's so cool when I finally get to meet the people who I've had on my radio show.
mm-hmm.
It is
mm-hmm.
very, I need to come to New York. Is Serendipity still open? Have you ever been there?
I don't think I ever went there, to be honest with you. You know, us New Yorkers overlook a lot of stuff sometimes. But, I haven't been there.
It's an ice cream place. It's really good.
Oh, okay.
Really, really good.
All right.
Like Sundays.
Sure.
And It's awesome.
I'll take your recommendation on something that's in New York that I probably should know about. I'm sure some of my other friends know. I just haven't gone, but I'll check it out. I'll check it out right now. I'm just kind of still on my pizza kick. If it's not pizza, then I'm not. I'm not, you know, a connoisseur of really anything else but pizza.
Yeah, I don't think I know any place for pizza in New York. I mean, every place is for pizza in New York, really, but...
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, but...
They're all good.
I live in New York, and there's some amazing pizza places and Italian places all over. And I love Italian, but I still like the... I order my pizza 9 times out of 10 from a chain pizza restaurant, which is crazy. Even though there's amazing pizza places like, you know, like really, really awesome. I don't even try those. I just dial the number that I got at a and I, you know, when I go to Indiana, then I have the same account, so I can order the pizza there too. So it just makes things easy. But, I mean, you got to get out here and really experience the whole New York experience, I guess. I'll just call it that.
I'd
love to show you around.
Yeah,
I'd love to show you around.
That'd
I'm not really into doing a lot of tourist stuff, but I can show you like the real New York, you know?
I'd rather have that kind of vacation.
Yeah, exactly. You get to see how people actually live, not, you know, just let's go to see the Statue of Liberty. Okay, well, but it's, you know, there's other things. I think that you can't really come to New York and really enjoy the visit if you miss the culture of New York. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. No, you got to see the real stuff.
Yeah, you got to see.
You got to see the real stuff.
But Lisa,
I'm gonna
listen to my body, which says that I've been up since 5 o'clock this morning. So I'm gonna have to kind of shut
it
down.
That's okay,
but
because we only have 15 minutes left of this show, and like to say thank you so much, Tiffany.
Oh,
and,
it's my pleasure.
And good night, everyone. And it's been great on the show tonight. And I would like to tell you all that March 10th is my next show, and you can hear it then, and you can find out more about Tiffany Jade Hightower. Where can people find you, Tiffany? If they want to find out more about you.
They can Google, but you remember you're going to put that link up, right, after we get on.
I'm going to put your link
definitely. Yeah, and then on IMDb, too, Internet Movie Database, I can find me there.
That's perfect.
And, yeah, so, but thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
You're so welcome. And on March 10th, I'm going to have Mike Four on to talk about his experience with MS. So thank you all, and have a great night. And thank you so much, Tiffany. And I'll talk to you later.
God bless you all. Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye.